I'm jumping back into our series today, You Are Here. Here's the word picture. If you've ever gone into a mall or maybe an airport and you see all of the many directions, you see all of the aisleways, you see all of the hallways and maybe, that thing spans out in multiple directions, and you have no idea where you are. You may have one store that you've needed, one particular spot that you're set to go, but you have no idea where you are. I always appreciate those directory maps. Because you can walk up to that map and it's got it all laid out. There's all of the various directions you can walk in, but this is where you are, because you have to know where you are in order to determine where you need to go. You got to know where you're starting from. Someone can tell you, "Oh no, that's down there by the Sears store." Well, I don't know where that is. I got to know where I am so that I can know which direction I am supposed to start going. And I think of that in terms of the life we're trying to navigate right now. There are so many different directions we can go. There's so many different ways of thinking. There's so many different things that we could believe in, things that we could just start following emotionally. I got to know where I am. I got to know what it is that God is doing in my life. Just look at somebody and tell them, "You are here. You're here. You're here. It's all right." So we began a couple of Sundays ago with figuring it out about Jacob and who Jacob was going to be. Jacob was trying to figure it out. Am I going to be a conniving man? Am I going to be a deceiving man? Or am I going to be God's man? And then last Sunday, we realized we may be in the fire, but we are not in the fire alone. God is with us. And we are coming out of the fire, and we won't even smell like smoke. And so I get excited about that. We just need to know where we are in relation to where God has called us to be, where God wants us. And I've learned I'm okay with the uncertainty. I'm okay with wondering about how it's all going to work out, as long as I know that I'm in the vicinity, as long as I know I'm in the neighborhood, as long as I know that I'm on my way. I'm not going to quit, and I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to throw in the towel, because I am further along than I ever thought. I'm doing better than I ever thought I was. And so if I can get a handle on where I am and see just how far God has brought me, and just see how great God has been to me, and see the way the Lord has worked for me, then I know everything is going to be all right. Is there anybody else that takes comfort in that? And so today's You Are Here, I believe, is going to help all of us. I believe it's going to make a difference in our lives. I believe this will help you even when you don't realize it is helping you. Just the fact that you are in the room today, the fact that you came to church in spite of challenges and difficulties and issues swirling in your life, I believe being in the room today is going to be the help that you need. Where are we, Pastor? I recognize trouble. I recognize struggle, but where are we? I'm going to tell you where you are. You are in a Holy Ghost house. That's it. That's the message. You are in a Holy Ghost house. We're not undercover. We're not keeping it a secret. We're not we're not bait and switch, come to this church, and then all of a sudden years later you're going to find out that we really do believe something down deep. No, this is a Holy Ghost house. You need to know it. When Andretta was leading today and talking about an atmosphere shifting, that's not the talent of an individual that's shifting the atmosphere. That's the worship of a people. That is the Spirit of the Lord that is shifting an atmosphere. And when the atmosphere shifts, I need to shift with it. I need to shift out of worry and shift into worship. I need to shift out of pain and shift into a power. I need to shift out of struggle and shift into overcoming victory. Is anybody ready to move with the Spirit today? I feel it, but I want more of it. I know He's here, but I'm hoping to get closer to Him than I've ever been before. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse number 1, says, "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them." This is in your Bible, folks. I've lived this and quoted this and preached from this and heard this preached to me all of my life. But in case you've never heard it, in case you've never experienced it, I want to break this down for us in the few moments that I have today. Verse 1, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Pentecost is a big word. You may struggle to spell it today, but it simply means 50. That's all it is, the word 50. And it is a feast of celebration that took place 50 days after the resurrection, 50 days after Easter, post-resurrection. Pentecost is the celebration. Luke, who wrote the gospel according to Luke, the book that bears his name, he also wrote the book of Acts. He records Jesus' charge, telling his followers to go and wait in Jerusalem. He led them out as far as Bethany, the Bible says, and then he charged everyone, I want you to go to Jerusalem and wait until you be endued with power. I want you to go to Jerusalem and wait until something happens in your life. And verse 5 tells us, Acts 2 and verse 5 says that they were in Jerusalem. They are specifically in an upper room. This was literally someone's house. Most scholars and historians believe this is an open chamber, an upper level to Nicodemus' house. You remember Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night and said, "What must I do to be saved?" And Jesus had that conversation with him. You need to be born again of water and spirit. And Nicodemus is trying to figure out the language that Jesus is using. Do I enter back into my mother's womb a second time? No. You got to be born of water and of spirit, because the Spirit blows where it wants to blow. It moves where it wants to move. And it's believed that the upper room that the 120 are gathered in is the upper room of Nicodemus' house. It's interesting, but more important, they were together, not just in proximity, not just under the same roof, not just within the same four walls, but they were together in heart and in spirit. They were together, yes, in the same room, but they were also together. The King James says they were in one accord. They were of one mind. They were single focused. They were all waiting waiting for the same thing. They were all expecting the same thing. They were all wanting the same thing. Thank the Lord we can get together collectively. Thank the Lord that we can all gather here at 11975 Highway 142. We can all get together Sunday morning at 10 a.m. But can I tell you, there is another level when you and I get the same heart while we're in the same room. Something else is about to happen when you and I get the same mind, when we have the same heart and we're in the same room. It's one thing to be in the same room, but it's another level to have the same heart and the same mind when we are in the same room. Because that is unity. That was Jesus' prayer in John 17. He said, I pray that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. But no, we're living in a time when the media and politics and offense will provide every opportunity for you and I to be divided. Every opportunity for you and I to be not together. You know what? I reject division today. I go as far as to say I rebuke division today. I love you and there's nothing you can do to make me hate you. I'm on your side and there's nothing you can do to get me off of your side. I'm here for you and I pray you are here for me. I know there's an election coming up and we got all different ideas and opinions and different sides of the aisle and different thoughts about who should be this and who should be that. You know what? Everybody has a choice, but I refuse to fall out with you. I refuse to lose love for you simply because of the choice that you make in your life. Why? Because we are in this room together. Is anybody glad to be together? We're on the same team. And when they got in the room together, the Bible said that suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven. This wind began to blow into the room. We know they had been there waiting for about 10 days. We know they had just been sitting there. You know, what's going to happen? We don't know what this is going to look like. Jesus told us, you know, a few days ago to come to Jerusalem and we were going to be endued with power, but we don't know what that looks like. We don't know what that's going to feel like. We don't know what that experience is going to be like. And yet Luke begins to tell us that it was like the blowing of a violent wind. Don't let the word violent throw you. The King James talks about a rushing, mighty wind. It's conveying strong and undeniable. In other words, it wasn't as though someone just opened the window and they felt a small breeze. No, it was a rushing, mighty wind. It was a strong wind. Everybody knew that it wasn't just a fan that was turned on. Everyone recognized that it wasn't just an open window that caused it. It was a wind that began to blow. It was blowing their hair. It was blowing their robes. They knew something was happening because there was a wind blowing. Because when the wind of the Spirit begins to blow, there will not be anyone wondering if it could have been man doing it. When God begins to move, no one is going to wonder whether or not, wait, is that him? Is that her? Is that, what exactly is that? No, it is undeniable. This is the Lord that is moving among us. This is the presence of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I pray for that to happen. We need that kind of wind to blow. We need that kind of spirit to come. We need that kind of outpouring in our lives. We need God to move in a mighty way. And the Bible said that it happened suddenly. It came suddenly. It came suddenly, but they had been there waiting for 10 days. They had been living in expectation. They had been living in anticipation. It's hard to be surprised by the thing you are expecting. It's hard to be taken aback by the thing that you are living in anticipation of. Let me ask you today, what is it that we are expecting God to do? What is it that we are asking God to do? We need to start with what we've asked of Him. If we've prayed for healing, then we need to start expecting healing. If we've prayed for breakthrough, then we need to start anticipating breakthrough. We don't need to be surprised if it's the thing that we have been praying for. I'm preaching fast and trying to hurry, and I'm all out of sorts and all out of rhythm, but I'm about to slow down a moment to make sure that you catch this and you get this. Them Oreos won't go bad for like 6 years. They'll survive the apocalypse, but I need just a moment because I don't want you to miss what the Holy Ghost wants to do in this house today. I've been expecting something to happen for about 7 years now. I've been anticipating something to break for about 7 years now. I walk in here every Sunday saying, is today gonna be the day? I know we got a plan. I know we got a schedule. I know we got an idea of how this service is supposed to go, but I'm wondering if today is gonna be the day that a wind is going to blow and the Spirit is going to fall. I wonder if today is going to be the day. Hallelujah. I wonder if today is going to be the day I'm living in expectation. Suddenly means it can happen at any time. Suddenly means it can come at any moment. But they're not surprised because they're in the room for this purpose. Is this still the purpose that we came to church for? Is this still the reason? I know we got all kind of reasons why we come to church, but ladies and gentlemen, my reason and my purpose is still to feel the presence of the Lord and to experience an outpouring of His Spirit. Suddenly, today could be the day. But you know what? You got to be here to be a part of it. You got to be here to experience it. And y'all have already appreciated me, and I'm honored and humbled by all of it. But let me be a good pastor and talk to you about our casual approach to the things of God. Let me talk to you for just a moment about how sometimes when it comes to the move of the Lord and it comes to the presence of the Lord, it's just, well, you know, that it's just what happens around. No, ladies and gentlemen, I need to be awed by this. I still need to be moved by this. I still need to be stirred by this. There is nothing more important in my life than what's happening in the house of the Lord. There's nothing more valuable happening in my life than what's happening in the presence of the Lord. And I don't want to miss the move of His Spirit. And I know I could qualify that with a lot of things, but I'm not going to bother. I know there's a lot of things going on in our lives that are important, but I'm not going to qualify any of it, because what matters is that we are in the presence of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15 and 6 says that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at one time. He said most of those still remain, but some have fallen asleep. What does that mean? That means when he charged them at Bethany, what Luke told us about, go and wait in Jerusalem until you be endued with power. He talked to more than 500 people, but there's only about 120 in the upper room. That means that 380 people are missing. We probably got about 380 people out today. 380 are, where are they? What is more important than what's happening in this upper room? Well, they were here the other day, but they got tired of waiting. They were here the other night, but they said they had something else come up that was really important. They were here for a little while, but then they said, hey, call us if anything happens. call us. We just a text away. We just go run some errands in the area. You know, sometimes if you want that thing from the Lord, you got to put everything else aside. You got to set everything else on the back burner. And you got to say, Lord, I'm moving you to the front priority of my life. I'm not going to miss my moment. I'm not going to miss my revival. I'm not going to miss my breakthrough. I'm not going to miss my healing. I am going to be in the house. I'm going to be in the house. I'm calling everybody to be in the house next Sunday for revival. Call somebody. Tell somebody. Make sure they know. Next Sunday, you need to be in the house. And here's what the Bible said. Verse 2, suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. It filled the whole house. Every corner was filled. Lord, leave no one untouched. Lord, leave no one untouched. I'm thinking about one of my friends here at the church. They've been coming for a few months, and they told me the other day, they said, you know what, I've just been Baptist all my life, and somehow I started coming to this church, and I've never been what you all are. I've never worshiped like you all worship. And they said, I find myself the last couple of weeks, I'll put my hands up for just a few seconds, and then I'll bring it right back down. Well, tell me how it feels when you get it up there for those few seconds. It feels good. It feels great. I get my hand up for a few. Listen, if all you got is just a few seconds of praise, get your hand up for a few seconds. You might get nervous. You might think, oh, no, wait a minute. I'm not Baptist no more. Who cares about the label? Lord, I'm lifting my hands in the sanctuary. Lord, I'm opening up my mouth in praise because I feel good when I worship you. No, I know something happens when I bless your name. Not missing this moment. Not missing this moment because I am in the house and I want everybody to be touched. I want it to happen in every corner. I want everybody to be moved by the power of the Holy Spirit. We need it in CY. Yes, we do. We need it on this stage in worship. Yes, we do. We need it in the preaching. Yes, we do. We need it in our small groups. We need the Holy Spirit to fall in our church kids. Call me crazy, but it's on the vision board of my spirit that one Sunday you go to try to check your kids out of church kids and they're going to say, you got to wait a minute. Holy Spirit fell and we got church kids receiving the Holy Ghost all up in the, you just come on in if you want to join them. Come join them if you want. But the Holy Spirit is falling from corner to corner on this campus and it's not leaving anyone untouched by its power. No one is untouched. No one is untouched. Everybody is moved. And the Bible said in verse 3 that they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. I want you to understand this. The writer is trying to build a word picture. It's not a perfect description. He's in the moment. I mean, this is unbelievable. I've never experienced anything like this. What is this? How can I describe this? How can I convey what this looks like or what this feels like? But just picture a flame of fire that comes sweeping into the room. It's a large flame, but all of a sudden it divides and separates. And then it starts to set on each individual. It starts to touch every single person in the room. First of all, it's corporate, and then it is individual. And I don't want you to miss this. I'm going to be done in just a moment, but I don't want you to miss this because it's one thing to be in the house when that corporate blessing comes. Thank you, Lord, that you let me feel that. Thank you, Lord, that you let me experience that. But Lord, I don't want to just be in the room where it's happening for other people. I don't want to just be in the room where other people are getting blessed. I want that thing to come set on me. I want my own personal experience with your spirit. Because if we're not careful, if we're not careful, we'll say, well, I go to a spirit-filled church, but I am not spirit-filled. I go to a lively church, but I'm not lively. I think those people may be Pentecostal. I'm not sure. They don't really define it like that, but they may be Pentecostal, but I know who I am. I'm Baptist. And Baptists don't do that. Again, the labels are not God's. I don't want to miss what God has for me. I want everything that He has. I don't want to just attend a spirit-filled church. I want to be spirit-filled. You should be spirit-filled. He wants you to be. I want you to be. I want God to baptize you in His presence. How crazy would it be to say, I go to a church where miracles happen, but not to me. I go to a church where people worship, but I don't worship. I go to a church where people pray out loud, but not me. I go to a church where people dance and get happy and get excited, but me, I'm not happy. I'm not dancing, I'm not excited. I go home the same way I arrive week after week. It comes into the room and I feel it, I feel it, I feel it. I know it's here. I know something is happening. But I as soon as the Lord starts pointing that fire, that flamethrower at me, man, I start running and ducking. And all of a sudden, I got to go to the restroom. All of a sudden, I got somewhere to be. And just I start running because I'm nervous about anything happening to me. Makes me nervous. My mother, I'm sure she's watching today. My father, who was in my life until I was about 5 years old, and he ultimately left our house. But I mean, their lives were miracles. They got married at 18 and had never attended church. My grandmother had never attended a church until we started one in Texas, and she was in her late 70s and became a member of a church for the first time in her life in her late 70s. I had the privilege of baptizing her, had never been baptized before. So my mother had not been raised going to church. Marries my father. His life, I mean, it's unbelievable. But they walk into a department store and there's the manager of the shoe department who sees my father and his story. I've met him down through the years. His testimony was that God spoke to him when he saw my father and said, give that man a job. He didn't know him. My father had an eighth grade education, had quit school when his uncle got in a fight with his father and punched him. And my grandfather, who I never met, fell back and hit his head and it killed him instantly. My father had to quit school in the eighth grade to start supporting the family and working, and that became a lot of things that were untoward and not all of it his fault, a product of his environment. But at 18 years old, they walk into a department store and a man managing the shoe department says, God tells that man to give my father a job. And he approaches my father and said, sir, do you have a job? My father said, no, I just lost my job. He said, God just told me to give you a job. What? They don't know the Lord. They know nothing about God. Before it was all over, my father was managing two, not just shoe departments, but two department stores. A regional manager, an assistant to the assistant. Managing two department stores with an eighth grade education because of a word from the Lord. When he walks into a department store in cut-off shorts and a wife beater t-shirt, God said, I don't care what you look like, I want you to have a job. That's how my family came into all of this craziness. But ultimately, that offer of a job leads to them inviting my father to church, and he starts going to church, and it's a rowdy church, it's a Pentecostal church. A lot of what you've seen happen here today happened in those services. And my mother would sit on the back row. She would say it over and over. Those people are crazy. I want nothing to do with them. I don't want anything to do with that. Nothing. But my father kept going, and come on, go with me. They were just newly married. Come on, let's go to church and sit on that back row. And one Sunday night, back in the days of Sunday night church, they made an altar call, and my father stepped out of that pew and went to the front of that church. And my mother, she stayed on the back row. She's craning her neck, looking hundreds of people in that room. What's going on down there? They're all gathered around him. They're hooting and hollering, and people are shouting and dancing, and people are saying yes, and there's fists in the air and all kind of what's going on down there? Finally, they came to get my mother. Come here, you need to see this. And she wasn't sure about, the door is closer than, I don't think I want to go down. No, come, you need to see this. And she had said over and over again, those people are crazy. But when she got down to that altar area, my father was standing there with his hands lifted, and he was speaking in other tongues. And my mother's testimony was, I knew they were crazy, but I knew him. And I knew he couldn't do that on his own. And it was in that moment that she understood this is real and this is powerful. And it wasn't long after that that she had her own experience. And it won't be long until you have your experience. Because that's what verse 4 said. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Ladies and gentlemen, all still means all. All of them. The fire touched every single person in the room and they began to speak in other tongues. Say, that's crazy, Pastor. I don't believe that. Why don't you believe it? Because you were told not to? Why don't you believe it? Because you've never seen it, or you watch it on TV and it just seemed crazy, or you heard about somebody that did that and they ended up in a mess and their life a mess. My father ended up in a mess. His life a long, long way from God. But that doesn't discount how real the Spirit of the Lord is. And when you submit your life to him, when you give your life to him, this is about hunger. This is not about condemnation. This is about desire. This is not about hey, you're no. This is about they that hunger, they that thirst. This isn't about judging anyone who hasn't experienced as much as someone else has. No. Every single Sunday, my goal is to help people take a step, their next step. Today, your next step may just be getting your hand in the air for just a few more seconds than last Sunday. Take a step. Today, your next step may not be somebody else praying for you. It may be you praying for yourself. Lord, here I am. Never done this before. I've never talked to you. Your next step may be you praying for someone. Maybe your next step is baptism. Maybe your next step is saying, you know what? I'm ready for everything God has for me. I don't want to miss it. Father, I pray today for people in this room. Not just a collective fire, but an individual fire. Not just your spirit in the room, but your spirit in every heart. Not just the pastor on fire, Lord, but every person under the sound of my voice on fire too. Why? Because we're in a Holy Ghost house. Something real in this room. Something powerful in this room. What's in this room will heal us. What's in this room will strengthen us. What's in this room will make the difference in our lives. In Jesus' name. in Jesus' name.